AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Shoppers turned out for Black Friday. Abrielle Laurent went to the Lakeside Shopping Center in New Orleans, where she was handed a glass of champagne.
When I saw people walking around with it, I thought it was something they were buying. But so when the lady told us it was complimentary, that was even better.
Our Rita Foley has more.
Macy's Herald Square in Manhattan has been bustling with shoppers today. 60% off fashion jewelry, 50% off select shoes, says Macy's. CEO Jeff Gannett says there's significantly more traffic on this Black Friday compared to the previous 2 years because shoppers feel more comfortable in crowds. But how much money will they spend? Analysts say shoppers are buying cheaper items now as higher prices for food, rent, gas, and other necessities weigh on them. They're dipping more into savings and turning to buy now, pay later services. Some are running up their credit cards. I'm Rita Foley.
And I'm Ben Thomas, AP News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation-related, and Brewing says it's badly needed, as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rose says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The happier happy hour? Can it also be a terrible Tuesday all at once, Dom?
Sure, why not? We can do whatever we want.
Dominic, we've got a verdict, breaking verdict. The Oath Keepers, guilty, at least two guilties. Seditious conspiracy, the charge. And that's the charge I'd really like to see Donald Trump go down for. Something associated with the January 6th. But instead, I got a prediction, Dom.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Despite the fact the man's entertaining Nazis for Thanksgiving at Mar-a-Lago, I think he is still your GOP frontrunner. He will be your Republican nominee, and the craven Republican Party will come crawling back to him. So all this so-called boldness and the separation from Trump, that's just for show. Because when it really, when the rubber hits the road, and there's like 5, 6, 7, 8 of them, and he starts chopping at Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump's going to win the primaries. He's going to run the table. He's going to, you know, win like 35% in Iowa and then like 35% in New Hampshire. And pretty soon, it's just going to be the Trump show again. So mark my words, Tom.
It's still the Trump show, Crudy. But let me ask you, do you think Donald Trump has more or less support today than he did 1 year ago today?
Less.
And do you think he's going to have more or less support 1 year from now than he does today?
1 year from now would make it November. Yes, I think he will have the perception of power because I think the polling will show that he is leading the polls going into Iowa.
So you see zero headwind for this, for instance, breaking news, the E. Jean Carroll rape case. Will be in
Republicans
April,
knew
April
that about him
of 2023. You think that particular case, just that one, or any of the multitude of other cases that Trump's facing right now, that will not have, number one, he will be found not guilty, or they'll still be going on. It will have zero impact on his quote unquote effort to run for president. You think there's no value to those things?
I think he was an alleged rapist before they made him the nominee in 16 and 2020. So if you're talking about whether or not it matters to the Republican base, apparently not. You know what I'm saying? Those evangelicals, he's their vessel. He's the the fallen.
I mean, what? Have you seen any of the recent articles? The evangelicals have been kind of pulled
that's
away
what they
from
say.
Trump.
That's what
yes,
they're
that's
saying.
That's what they say.
I don't believe it, Dom. Because until there's a new king, he's the king. Until there's a new king of the Republican Party and they knock him off the mountain that is that craven, destitute party. I mean, they still love him. The base still loves Trump. You can talk about the donor class. You can talk about the those that are on the know. What the hell did they know? Donald Trump became the president. Not the left, not the right. Nobody saw him coming. So you're going to tell me now they know? I'm telling you this, Dom. He's
yes,
going to
I
be the nominee. So
who,
if it's not Donald Trump, who's your Republican nominee? I'm not saying he's winning the presidency. I'm not saying it's not a ridiculous statement about the Republican Party and the state of those that would support this party at this late hour. But unless this guy's sitting behind bars, he is your Republican nominee.
Oh, now you're qualifying it. Okay. Well yeah,
you're
no
not going to get his ass in jail between now and the Iowa caucuses. So, you know, good luck with that. But that's basically January of 2024. He will be the winner of the Iowa caucuses, the Republican version thereof, because I don't think the Democrats are going back to Iowa this year. But the Republicans are, and Trump's going to win. And then he's going to win probably New Hampshire. And he's going to be on a roll, dude.
Come on, man. You sound so confident, man. I wish I could believe what you're selling.
Because the math doesn't show me another path for another Republican.
There's too many variables, Crudy. You are totally discounting all the variables that we know, let alone the unknown variables for the next, 13, 14 months?
Set aside all the variables.
You can't set aside the variables,
but
man.
But you can't quantify what those variables are yet because they're all hypotheticals today.
They're not. They're not hypotheticals. There's ongoing criminal investigations on multiple fronts against Trump and his organization, man. What are you talking about? Tony Ornato, the Secret Service dude, his buddy at the Secret Service, testified for 5 hours today in front of the J6 committee. Kellyanne Conway went voluntarily, didn't take the fifth yesterday. These are still active, ongoing investigations. That's just the J6 part, man. I mean, Stuart Rhodes guilty of seditious conspiracy. I mean, that's today. You don't think there's going to be any movement on any of these other cases that are continually, as we speak, every day, squeezing closer and closer to Donald Trump specifically?
Dominic, I've got to speak to our Madison audience for just a minute. Evan, thanks for flagging this. Police are searching for a suspect in a State Street shooting, and the public is being asked to avoid the State Street area of Madison. A shooting, at least one person injured at the shooting. One person is hurt after a shooting on State Street Tuesday afternoon, and police still searching for a suspect. Officers responded just after 3:30 in the 100 block of State Street. The scene is still very active, and police are asking the public to avoid the area. That reporting, according to NBC 15 here in Madison, avoid the State Street area. Be safe out there. If you're leaving the office, you know, keep your wits about you. But Dominic, sorry to interrupt your thought. I think it's a valid thought. You know, I think by hearing you, I hear you say these things and I know you believe them.
Well, and I know you believe what you're saying. It's just, I just, in order to go down that road, and I get it, you have to think that all these other things will have zero impact, number one, on Trump's ability to run for office, Trump's, or his supporters or those who would fund him.
It's the nomination.
That this is going to maintain as it is right now, and I just don't think it's going to be the case.
You understand how these primaries work, these winner-take-all Republican primaries. So whoever gets 30%, is probably going to get all the votes, basically all the electoral votes, if you will, towards the nomination. And if he's piling them up, guess what? People want to back a winner. And Donald Trump's been the president. And Ron DeSantis is not going to look good walking around Iowa in those white boots, man. I'm just telling you. And Ron DeSantis, when Donald Trump turns the whirlwind, the pain upon him, Ron DeSantis is so thin-skinned. He's a wannabe Nazi. You know what I mean? He wants to be a Nazi. He so desperately wants to be, but he's not a courageous man. He's smarter than Trump, but he doesn't have the courage to stand up to Trump. And he is going to wither before Trump. And once they see how weak DeSantis is compared with Trump, I mean, sadly.
I mean, but weakness,
that's
I mean,
all that know, will
Donald,
matter.
Donald Trump's shtick is stale. Man, we've seen this the show before.
Stale, strong, and wrong, baby.
We're numb to it, man. So it's not going to have, he's not going to get the free media. The only media he's going to get is you know, you think they're going to pack back the winner if he's if his company is convicted of $250 million fraud? Is that winning for you? If E. Jean Carroll's rape case comes back and he's guilty, is that winning? If he's brought up on charges of seditious conspiracy by special counsel Jack Smith, a la Stuart Rhodes from The Oath Keepers, is that winning, Crudy? I mean, we can go on and on.
You know, to his perception, and when you look at the reaction of the Republican base, look at the search of Mar-a-Lago. They rallied to Trump. They rallied to Trump.
Who rallied to Trump?
Guys like Ron DeSantis came out, "This is so bad what they're doing to our cult leader, Mr. Trump." Even DeSantis went sucking into there. I mean, dude, when this guy gets to play the victim card, and let's not forget, that's Donald Trump's MO. He plays the victim card. "I'm being persecuted. Look at what they're doing to me because I am your choice. They're trying to silence you." That's how he plays it. And yes, it plays in Des Moines, dude. I was there in October of last year when the guy had 45,000. Ron DeSantis couldn't turn out 4,500 in Des Moines.
It won't play in Des Moines if he's charged with you know, taking these documents, man. It's not going to play, man. I mean, I know it's a paper crime to you. We still don't know what happened to lots of those documents.
If it's a paper crime to me, what do you think his supporters think it is? They think it's more persecution from the... I mean, this guy survived two impeachments. Almost won re-election. You know what I'm saying? 21,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin. He wasn't exactly a runaway here. He's still fighting over, you know, like legislators to overturn.
Were there criminal investigations going into electioneering when you call 11,000 and all I need is 11,780 votes? Was that going on back then? No. Was there a $250 million fraud case in the state of New York? No. Was there a criminal charge in Manhattan against the Trump organization? No. These things are all going on right now. And to think that as the time passes, that nothing will change or that he'll just walk away from them all, given what we've seen, convictions today, Oath Keepers, seditious conspiracy, pretty good for the DOJ. Apparently some people are buying it. Well, what was Trump's role in all that? What was Roger Stone's role in all that? This is still going on. We still don't know. We still don't have the info. We need the info. So I don't think that, you know, 18 or 12 or 16 months from now, we're going to be living in the same political situation. And we certainly weren't 18 months ago. And 18 months from now is not going to be the same as it is today.
All the man has to do is survive till he gets to the RNC in Milwaukee. And he's your Republican nominee, right?
Oh, I forgot about that. You had to bring that up, didn't
you? The RNC is coming to your town, baby. Donald Trump will be anointed the king of the cult again because no one can knock the king off the mountain. He's got too much notoriety, too much celebrity. He might be a stale act, but he's the best act the Republican Party have. And sadly, that will probably convince Joe Biden he's the best alternative. Right? Because if Trump's running, Biden's all in. Come back with us. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Always appreciate your opinions more than Dom's at 844-967-2789.
As we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is,
so I don't have any clue of what he's talking.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Percent of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Low is around 15 tonight. Under clear skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 36. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 27. Upper 30s Monday. Mid 30s by Tuesday. A dusting of snow Monday through Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take, as always, at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, can I also encourage the audience? Use the Civic Media app. That's what the real patriots do. You know, right now I'm watching. There's a guy listing in Australia. Someone's listing in the United Kingdom, the southern part. I hear that's the good part. And then all across the great United States, and of course in the state of Wisconsin, lots of listeners to this fine program, Dom. They love us. You know, we're kind of a big deal.
Where do you get the Civic Media app, Crudy?
You can get it anywhere where you get apps. Here's the best part. It's free. It doesn't cost you nothing. Dom's favorite price. Free.
Free. If it's free, it's for me, and I'll take three.
And give them to all your family. I mean, think about that. All your Christmas giving is this Civic Media app. Really, kids, just get it for your parents. They will appreciate it. They don't know how much it costs. They can't get to the app store. You just get it for them. Say, Mom, Dad, you got your Badger Sports. You got a little country music. You got the greatest radio show ever each afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. Devil's Advocates, I mean, if you're not aware. And all the other fine programs right here on the Civic Media Worldwide Network. So do it for me and Santa Claus. Santa wants you to do it too. He's real.
Santa is real. I heard that.
Santa is real, but you don't believe in Jesus. So what Santa's so celebrating, man?
Ah, come on, man. We don't mess with the kid's mind. You know, Jesus and Santa, it made zero sense to me when I was growing up. I was singing all these songs, but what about, is Jesus Santa? I just didn't get it. And then South Park came along and pointed it out for me that Jesus died for Santa.
I'm wanting to turn our attention, you know, not that Santa bashing isn't a great topic. Militia boss faces 20 years for January 6th sedition. What Oath, the headliner here at the Daily Beast, Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes has been convicted of seditious conspiracy for planning an armed rebellion in an attempt to stop the electoral certification of Joe Biden's 2020 presidential election victory over Donald Trump. Rhodes, along with one other member of the far-right militia, were found guilty on Tuesday of the rare Civil War era charge in the most significant trial yet over the January 6th insurrection. The verdict, which was delivered by a D.C. federal jury in 3 days, marks the biggest prosecutorial win in almost 2-year investigation. Why aren't we getting more convictions quicker? A almost 2-year investigation into how a MAGA mob stormed the U.S. Capitol and forced dozens of elected officials into hiding for hours, leaving bloodshed in their wake. Now the founder of the far-right militia faces up to 20 years behind bars on the sedition conviction alone. Kelly, yeah, should get a lot more than that, to my opinion, Dom. Kelly Meggs, a leader of the Florida Oath Keepers chapter, was also found guilty of seditious conspiracy. Their co-defendants, Thomas Caldwell, a retired naval intelligence officer, member Kenneth Harrelson, and Jessica Watkins, who led an Ohio militia group, were found not guilty of the most serious charge, but every defendant was convicted of obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress, which itself carries up to 20 years in prison.
Cody Watkins was also convicted of civil disorder after she admitted she helped push law enforcement officers inside the Capitol. Rhodes, along with two others, was acquitted of conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. The militia leader was also found not guilty of conspiracy to prevent an officer from discharging their duties. After the verdict was read, Rhodes' son took to Twitter to respond to the conviction by posting a link to a YouTube video titled, "Happy New Year to You, in jail." So much weight is off now Dakota Adams, who along with his mother
that
and
is
siblings,
hilarious
previously described attempting to escape an abusive life at home with Rhodes, added another tweet. Over the last month, prosecutors argued that unlike hundreds of other Capitol rioters who falsely believed the 2020 election was stolen from Trump, Rhodes and his fellow Oath Keepers carefully plotted to subvert democracy. While Rhodes did not enter the building, prosecutors said he surveyed his troops, quote unquote, during the riot, directing their positions from afar like a general. The prosecutor showed jurors text messages and audio recordings to argue that the Oath Keepers began planning to block the results of the 2020 election days after Biden was declared the victor. At the time, Rhodes said, "We're not getting out of this without a fight. Let's do it smart. Let's do it while President Trump is still commander in chief." A prosecutor said the desire to fight only grew as the group stockpiled weapons, coordinated meetups, and even planned on how January 6th would pan out. Oof. Of the five Oath Keepers to stand trial, Rhodes, Watkins, and Caldwell made the decision to testify in their own defense. Caldwell insisted his comments on private signal groups, including a threat to former Vice President Mike Pence, were simply words, and he had no intent to cause any harm during the insurrection. Rhodes took a different approach, choosing to throw his fellow Oath Keepers under the bus for their breach of the Capitol. "I think it was stupid to go into the Capitol. One, because it wasn't our mission," Rhodes told jurors. "And two, it opened the door for our political enemies to persecute us. And that's what happened. And here we are."
844-967-2789. Shouldn't be a shocker, Dom. Guilty. Guilty. What, guilty like five times?
Seditious conspiracy. And the other charge, too, also carrying an up to 20-year charge. Good. And this is good for the DOJ. This is good for justice. And let's hope. And what happens now, right? So and now that he's been found guilty, can he play ball at all? Can he roll up on Roger Stone? Can he roll up on anything else? Is there anything for Rhodes to offer now that he's looking at 20-plus years the rest of his life, presumably in prison?
Dominic, some more breaking news on the Trump legal front. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. on Monday said that Donald Trump does not have absolute immunity, as the former president claimed he should in response to a lawsuit in its early stages related to Trump's actions around, wait for it, Dom, the 2020 presidential election. Civil rights groups have sued Trump for trying to disenfranchise voters, while Trump lawyers argue he can't be held liable in civil lawsuits because of immunity around the presidency. Judge Emmett Sullivan of the D.C. District Court on Monday disagreed. Come back, more devil's advocates. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
This council has no hesitation in proclaiming you all guilty.
Right to jail, right away.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice. Where your mouth is.
about that action. Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. Cities across Ukraine have been hit by Russian missile attacks in recent days, knocking out power and water. But the retaken city of Kherson in the south has been taking particularly heavy punishment. Karen Shamas has the story.
The sound of shelling thunders across the Kherson skyline. Ukrainian troops on the front line launch reconnaissance drones to determine the enemy's positions before firing. Kurt, a commander for a military unit, told the AP that Russian soldiers had taken up positions on the left bank of the Dnipro River. While the goal for Ukraine is to push the Russians further back, crossing the Dnipro River has become tricky as both sides have destroyed surrounding bridges. A day earlier, at least five people died in the city from Russian shelling. Nevertheless, the mood in Kherson remains defiant and resolute, as Kherson resident Valentina Pedina tells the AP, Putin wanted to take Kherson. Never. We will die here, but we will not give it to him. I'm Karen Chamas.
Investigators say the gunman who killed six people at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia Tuesday night bought the gun just hours before opening fire on co-workers. He also left a note listing grievances. Meanwhile, the mass shooting at a popular gay club last weekend has Colorado Springs looking inward.
I think a lot of people, including myself, might have ascribed to the notion that we were going to age out of hate.
State Representative Leslie Harrod is the first openly LGBTQ and black person elected to Colorado's General Assembly.
It's not going to just go away. In fact, it's being bred in our communities, and it's been lifted up. So we have to actively change that.
European Union data shows Twitter took longer to review hateful content and removed less of it in 2022 than last year. Meantime, Elon Musk says Twitter will try to relaunch its premium service next week. The last attempt was flooded with imposter accounts. This is AP News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it. We almost did it. We still got to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
All aboard!
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. A fine guest joining us right now, live via Zoom from Georgia. He is Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show host. You can find him here right on the Civic Media Network. Tune him in 8 to 10 p.m. almost every night, unless you get preempted by a little, you know, basketball or something, Rick, a couple of markets. But every night, everywhere else, it's Rick Smith, the only guy I know who probably logged more miles than me this summer. Rick, how you doing, man?
Hey, Rick. I'm doing great. Angry, very angry in this moment. I gotta start with anger.
Just react then, Rick. Tell us how you're feeling about congressional insertion, apparently at the directive of Joe Biden. I'm not happy about it. Dom doesn't seem too happy. How are you feeling, Rick?
This was a moment for the talk to be the walk. This was a moment for Democrats to step forward and actually be the party of working people, and they failed us. Look, nobody wanted a strike. There was never going to be a strike, but the messaging that comes out of this, that we're going to run two separate bills, the one that ultimately passed and the one that was performative, was extremely predictable, and it's angering. This is the kind of stuff that I expect from Democrats when I say, look, I want a street fighter. I want somebody who's going to get in and fight for me and fight for working people. And here's another example of Democrats holding someone's coat when there's a fight. And I'm telling you, I'm ticked.
I don't want to pick out old scabs, but once upon a time, Barack Obama promised the people here in the state of Wisconsin, the uprising was happening in reaction to Scott Walker's attack on public sector unions, and eventually got around to sticking it to the private sector unions. But Obama said he was going to come and march with us, stand with us, and he did not, sir. And I think a lot of locals have never forgotten, Rick.
No, look here, I'm in Georgia to talk to union members to get them out to vote for Raphael Warnock in this runoff election. All day today, all I have heard is that they feel that they've been let down, that, you know, Joe Biden, again, honestly, still the most pro-union president of my lifetime. But this was a mistake. Look, as I said, they were never going to strike. They were never going to be allowed to strike because these railroads have gotten so big. They are so powerful that shutting them down would be catastrophic for the economy. So I think the conversation we should be having is twofold. One, the strike situation isn't the employees. It's the railroads' fault. It's these extraordinarily profitable railroads. Last year, pocketing $23 billion. This year, putting in their pockets in the first three quarters of this year, $22.1 billion with a B. All these workers were asking for were four measly sick days. It would have cost $180 million. A mere fraction of their billions. And you're going to tell me that these railroads can't afford this? No, it's not that they can't afford, is they refuse to, because this is about power. This is about control. And this is about the railroads flipping off their workers and flipping off our government, knowing that our government was going to bow to them because they have such enormous power. The call from this moment forward, Mike, should be, how do we break these railroads up and put competition back into the railroading industry?
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Rick Smith joining us. Rick, you know, when you put it like that, it really makes it even sound worse. Okay, so let's get drilled down. You say there was never going to be a chance for a strike. I mean, isn't that the whole point, Rick? I mean, as a laborer, the most leverage you have is withholding your labor. What is the point of a union if you can't go on strike when the majority of people want to?
But look, Don, their hands are tied by the railroad, the Railway Labor Act. The law is what it is. They were never going to be allowed because Congress was going to step in, and they have in the past. The last time it happened was George H.W. Bush back in 91 did the exact same thing. This was predictable. But again, I come back to the untenable, the unwinnable situation that Biden was in. These railroads have so much power. These rail barons have so much influence and power over our economy. They've been gouging our eyes out. And why aren't we hearing that? We're hearing about these four unions who are saying, no, we want sick days. We want some dignity and respect. We want to be able to see our kids. Why is it all the focus on the union and not on these rail barons who are taking their power and abusing it? Because they know, look, I don't want there to be a strike, because I know that hundreds of thousands of workers would have been affected, but I want these guys to get the sick time that they deserve and need. And this could have been a rallying cry. This could have been Biden going out there saying, look, every worker should have the dignity of a paid sick day. Every worker. And we're going to start a movement. We're going to unite both sides so that some nitwit like Marco Rubio can't step in and say, look at me, I'm pro-worker because I'm going to attack the Biden administration and the unions. This is a moment. This could have been a moment that pulled us together.
Well, Bernie Sanders voted nay on this along with Marco Rubio. So strange bedfellows. Warren Buffett apparently bought BNSF back in 2009 for $34 billion. You're going to tell me that these paid sick leave days would cost the industry $180 million. And with over the 20 some billion already this year, they can't find that in the couch cushions, and the Democrats can't, you know, push us along, if nothing else, for political reasons. You want to be a friend of labor, let this thing play out. If you know you're never going to allow them to strike anyway, then let it, why step in now? Why not let it run its course for at least another week?
And the thing is, you know, you brought up Buffett. One day last week, his wealth went up enough to provide 15 sick days to all of those workers for 2 years. Just one day of his profit increases. That's how paltry their request was. They are not being unreasonable. And look, this is a winning message. Democrats could have picked this mantle up and made this a winning message to make workers' lives better. And they chose to take the route that was the simplest, that was the easiest, and performative. They did what we knew they were going to do. They weren't going to allow them to strike. And then they did this, oh, hey, we're going to have this other bill, knowing that there's no way in hell the Senate's going to vote for that. And we got exactly what we expected.
And Rick, you're in Georgia. Rick Smith, the host of the Rick Smith Show, again, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Civic Media Network. But Rick, you're in Georgia. You follow the circus like Dom and I sometimes do. And the timing of this exacerbates the problem because we are in the midst of a runoff election for the 51st seat of the U.S. Senate. And if Warnock loses, which seems unbelievable, but it's close, it's relatively close. But if
the message that I've been bringing out in this is, and people have been bringing this up to me, I go, the reality is Raphael Warnock is the 51st vote in the Senate, and he would have voted for those workers. He would have voted for those sick days. Herschel Walker, I'm not sure how Herschel Walker would have voted. I'm sure Mitch McConnell would have told him how to vote, which is against the workers. So for me, this is a very simple situation. You got Reverend Warnock, who would support the workers, and Herschel Walker, who wouldn't. But again, I keep coming back to the Democrats. There was an opportunity to play this game right. There was to play this chess game right, to make sure that they were able to, while they're talking the talk, walk the walk. They could have, I don't know, put that into one bill, say, yeah, we're going to make them not strike, but we're going to put those four sick days in there that they requested. We're going to make sure that they get what they need, Mike, and make Republicans vote that down. And then look, if it falls where it falls the day after, and then next week, you go, hey, look, we gave you the chance to vote to make sure that these folks have sick days. We didn't have two bills, we have one. And that's where my frustration lies. They could have had just one bill.
Rick Smith, just to clarify the position of Herschel Walker, I'm pretty sure he's pro-vampire. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show. I got to lighten it up for just a moment, Rick. I understand you're feeling it, man, and I am feeling it. Dom's feeling it. I bet a lot of the actual hardworking people, similar to yourself, you're a Teamster. You're a truck driver by trade, right, Rick?
Yes.
And similar in nature to the nature of the rail workers. Am I right, or do you not see it as analogous?
No, look, I spend a lot of time driving. I drive a truck into the rail yards. That's what my job is. I go back and forth to the rail yards. And I know these guys. I know the struggles. I know their situations. I know the hours that they have to work. I know the fact that they've cut staff enormously. Thousands of workers have lost their jobs over the last several years. I know that these railroad companies with their precision scheduling railroading have been gouging the eyes of consumers out. I know that they've been lying their pockets. I hear these stories. I hear these people, their struggles, and they're angry. And look, I keep coming back. Democrats, you need to get out of DC. You need to get Obama's comfortable shoes on, and you need to start walking a mile in these folks' shoes. It's easy to say, oh, just take one for the team. They've been taking one for the team for the last several years. And there's real anger out there. And look, I'm calling for a wildcat strike. If it's me, I'm walking out the door. I'm not showing up on the 9th. I am not doing it.
Rick Smith, how long are you going to be in Georgia? What does your show schedule look like? And what can people expect to hear?
We're here in Georgia through the election. We're broadcasting every night, right here on all the Civic Media stations from 8 to 10 p.m. And, you know, look, what we've been talking about, what I came down here to talk about was the runoff. You know, I wanted to get people stories, but this railroad thing has just, you know, consumed me at this moment because this was a moment. This was a chance for Joe Biden to solidify that most pro-union president. And I'm struggling with it right now. Now, look, I've had insiders tell me, no, Rick, calm down, cool your jets a bit. The president's got a plan. We'll see. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt in this moment, but I'm still angry at the fact that there were two bills, not one. And they went through as expected. And here we are.
Rick Smith, Dominic and I dragged him to a Trump rally. Not the first one I've dragged him to. Probably about the, we're getting close to a dozen, I think. But we went to a Trump rally here in the state of Wisconsin before the primary in August. Trump came on behalf of Tim Michaels. The labor, I'm sorry, Rick, I've kind of lost my thought for a moment, but we met people there and they were, I asked the guy and he's like, labor, Republicans. And I'm like, how does that make sense? There's no sense to it. But apparently labor is falling in the Trump camp. The working man is falling in the MAGA camp. And I found it distressing that, you know, this former Democratic laborer, this union guy, waiting in line, front row guy, is telling me, no, man, I'm Trump, Trump or bust. I guess yeah. If there's a question, it's sort of a statement, but man, Republicans are owning the working class at this point.
No, the reality is Biden left an opening for Marco Rubio to step in and say that he's pro-worker. And the reality is he's never supported a piece of legislation that was pro-worker. He just hasn't. He voted against the bill, but did he vote for the one that gave the sick days? Did he propose legislation to ensure people get sick days? Did he propose any legislation to make workers' lives better? No. He simply took an opportunity to attack the president and attack unions. This isn't being pro-worker. Now, I would applaud Marco Rubio if he came forward and said, you know what? We're going to make sure every worker gets sick time. This is where the message needs to turn around. Every worker should have the dignity and respect of when they're sick, being able to stay home. When their kids get sick, they can make a doctor appointment down the road. They can have some time. The reality is unions fought for a weekend. These folks don't have one. They can't make a dental appointment 6 months into the future. This is a winning message for Democrats, and they dropped the ball on it.
Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, unfortunately recently reelected, Rick, came out today and said this was the wrong action. I found myself weirdly disagreeing or agreeing with Ron Johnson in this case. But what he said is he thought effectively the president should have forced them into a cooling off period. Rick, that seemingly still would have.
They were in a cooling off period, Mike. I mean, that was what the president did over the summer. He signed the executive order creating the presidential emergency board,
which brought us
to this point. This is the cooling off period.
So this action today was unwarranted relative to the fact that, I mean, would it have precipitated into a strike in the short run, Rick?
Look, if there's no congressional action, potentially. I mean, the reality is, and this is where the frustrating part is, the rail barons were very clear. They were not going to give anything at all. They were okay with crashing our economy. They were okay with taking the power that we've given them by allowing them to consolidate from 40 railroads down to 7 over the last 2 decades. We've given them the enormous power to crash our economy. And this is where I keep coming back to. We need to talk about having something so powerful. We've got a nuclear
bomb. Rick, hold tight, man. You got a few more minutes for us? That's, can you stick around?
Absolutely.
More Rick Smith, more Devil's Advocates. Come back with us.
He says we're going the wrong way.
That is correct.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Clear skies tonight with a low of 15. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, 36. Overcast tomorrow night, 27. Chance of snow Monday and Tuesday. Upper 30s Monday, mid 30s by Tuesday. A dusting of snow Monday through Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show, sticking around for one more segment. Rick, always appreciate talking to you, man. Because you're a labor guy, man, and you have the stuff dialed on. I always learn something when we hang out, when we speak. The railroad industry, as you said, is what, gone from 40 different rails consolidated down to 7. Is that accurate? With one of them being owned by Warren Buffett. Yeah. What's the long game here? I mean, obviously this is untenable. We all have a problem with this. How do we as consumers, how do we as citizens of a democratic government react to this and push back on this? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, you know, I would have been okay if Congress and Nancy Pelosi would have come forth with one piece of legislation, said, look, yeah, we're not going to let them strike, but we're going to get them the sick days that they need because it's the right thing to do. I would have been perfectly okay with that. And in fact, what I was hoping that they would do, they didn't. They went the performative route. They went the route that said, you're not going to be able to strike. And oh, by the way, we'll try over here. Knowing that that bill was never going to pass, in playing the chess game, I make the Republicans say, nope, you know, we're not the party of working people. We're going to vote against these sick days because, you know, here's the thing. These workers don't want to go on strike. None of them want to go on strike. Nobody ever wants to go on strike. I've been on strike in my lifetime. There's no fun in this. There's no good in losing wages. There's no good in causing disruption. There's no good that comes from it. But sometimes you're pushed to the brink where it's the last arrow in the quiver. It's the last thing that management's going to listen to. And what the people have been telling me is the railroads don't care because the railroads, they don't care if they strike or not because they can cause catastrophe. But they're going to make nothing but money on the other side because they're going to be able to gouge us. You want to know why inflation's so high? Think of shipping costs. Think of transportation costs, how crazy they've gone. And then look at the profits that these railroads have put in their pocket. $23 billion pure profit in their pocket. And they're telling these workers, sorry, you can't have a day off. It's insane. It is literally insane. And it's a winning message to go out and talk to other working people about, hey, we need to take on corporate America and this insane greed. It's that simple to me.
Rick, the rails, I mean, obviously very important. Otherwise, Congress would not have gotten involved. Otherwise, Democrats would not have gone against labor in this regard. National security issue, perhaps, should the rails be nationalized, if this is how it's going to be, if it's so important, then should the government get more involved, in your opinion, sir?
No, absolutely. I said from the beginning, that's what should happen. I mean, it's what Truman did back in the 40s. I think it's what should have happened. The threat of nationalizing, I think, would have sent the CEOs, would have sent the rail barons back to the table and actually negotiated in good faith because there'd be a consequence. Right now, because of the RLA, there's no consequence for the rail barons if they refuse to negotiate, if they refuse to give in on what are very reasonable demands. The fact that these engineers want to have a sick day to where if they get sick, if they get COVID, they're not going to get fired from their job. This is the problem that we're in. And look, they've got paid time off, but that paid time off is always denied because, hey, we've got to have someone to cover your run. If we don't have it, you got to come in.
Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show. You can hear him right here on the Civic Media app all across the network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. Rick, we enjoyed your company this summer. You came to Wisconsin, touched different parts of the state. right here in the Madison area, the UW nurses have been trying to organize their labor, but due in large part to Scott Walker and the Republican agenda, they don't apparently have the right to unionize. So initially, my understanding is UW Hospital was recognizing, and I'm only going on what one of our friendly rebellious nursing friends have told me on the last couple of days, but effectively now the hospital is saying, well, you know, rules are, we don't have to recognize you, so we won't. And we don't. Rick, they effectively labor's being thrown under the bus here by the existing rules. But if the nurses can't come together and say, we want to negotiate, well, how can you force their labor? I mean, effectively, do they all have to leave the UW system and go find private nursing work? You know, you don't have the right to negotiate.
This is where I keep coming back to. I know I'm in the very, very small minority here and probably going to get into a lot of trouble for it. But at the end of the day, workers have one final arrow in their quiver, and that's the ability to fold their arms and march their feet. And I know there are some railroaders out there who are ready to go on a wildcat strike, and maybe that's what we have to come to. This country was, during the 20s and 30s, was being torn apart by workers who were demanding rights. The National Labor Relations Act was a peace treaty between workers and corporations because workers had had enough. Maybe we're at that moment again. Maybe we're in a moment where the law has gotten so outdated, so antiquated, so ossificated that it's useless at this point. That maybe we need to have comprehensive major labor law reform, something possibly like the PRO Act, which, again, bringing me back here to Georgia, is why I want Raphael Warnock to be reelected and to be put into this seat so that we can get one vote closer to the PRO Act and giving workers the ability to fight for better wages, hours, conditions, by undoing all of the horrible that's been done by Republicans and conservative Democrats over the decades. But to answer your question, this is what should be drawing us together. This should be, everybody should have this right. You shouldn't give the tool that management has gotten to tell workers, yeah, maybe, no. This is where we have to vote for work pro worker candidates and hold them accountable, which is why I'm so angry with Joe Biden today.
Rick, we're going to run out of time here, man. I certainly appreciate you coming around once again. Wildcat striking. So if this goes down, I mean, what would be the effect of how many strikers would there need to be, in your opinion, given the industry? I mean, there's, you know, over 100,000 laborers in rail. How many people would need to go on a strike to make an impact?
Ultimately, the people who are affected by this, the ones that they say are just the minority, the ones who don't have sick days, those folks who are running the rails, who are the ones who are the engineers. You got a bunch of them to go out on strike. The rest of them are useless. What are you going to do? There's no trains moving around. To me, no, it's not going to happen. I doubt it's going to happen. I think you'll have some because the penalties and the fines and the draconian penalties for the unions would be just catastrophic for them because of how bad the law is on this front. But I think, you know, at some point you may see a sick out. You may see people who are just have had enough and don't care if they get fired. I think you may see some of that.
Rick, how's the early voting seem to you?
Well, big numbers. I mean, there are just a drop in the drop box, 2 hour long waits in some places. But for me, the interesting part is going to be looking back at how SB 202 is working for Republicans when they pass this horrible law that says we're going to limit the number of drop boxes. We're going to shorten the runoff period from 60 days to 28. All of the things that they did to steal this election, this runoff election before it was even started. We'll see if their dirty tricks work.
Don't forget, Herschel Walker is pro vampire. Rick
and from Texas.
We're pro Rick Smith here. He plays out 8 to 10 p.m. each weeknight on Civic Media. Thank you, Rick. Come back, Hour 2, Devil's Advocates, with Charles Franklin, a pollster extraordinaire.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks. More choices to working families.
Hey, that's a joke, son. Don't you get it?
He said that you were being tough on the negotiations.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.